And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac. This is the entrepreneurial spirit. And, of course, pinch hitting for Craig Dean and Leanne Hall, playing both parts, actually. Doing it very well. It's Glenn Gormley.
Hi, I'm Leanne Hall.
Hey, do that. That's like, what's my line? Remember that? Do that.
Hi, I'm Leanne Hall.
And then the next one.
Hello, I'm Craig Dean, and it's the Craig Dean Show.
Yeah, there we go. All right. You think Craig's listening?
Of course he's listening.
I thought he was out of town somewhere.
Come on.
Okay. Well, anyway, this is the Glenn Gormley Show, we'll say right now.
I kind of like that.
Yeah, it sounds good, right?
It works.
You know, you have a great voice for radio, though.
Well, I think we've got some other people in here today. Let's not be confused with the man on the, with the blue shirt over here, Mr. Robert Defebaugh. Hello, I'm Robert Defebaugh.
You're imitating all the parts. He's here, and you're still
late
imitating.
Late night radio. Robert's okay. On late night radio.
But you're right. We have Robert Defebaugh. We have Steve DiBiase. Hey, I'm getting good at that. And, of course, Lance Reynolds. Welcome, Lance, from Food Biz.
Hello. How are you?
Good. And thank you for being here. You got the whole team, almost the whole team here. And let's give Lance a few minutes here to describe what he does. Lance, what's my line or whatever?
What am I doing here?
Yeah. What am I doing here and how did I get here?
Well, you had me at social media because you gave me your card, and social media is huge. Tell us what you do.
My partner Guillermo Salazar and I started this company about 4 years ago. We started another company called Grupo Patron doing consulting for restaurants. And when the economy fell apart, we found our niche explode. The restaurant industry didn't go into a recession like the rest of the country. It went into a deep depression. More restaurants went out of business in the first quarter of 2010 than all of 2009 combined, and we expect the same result out of the first quarter of 2011. It's serious. And so our company grew significantly through the recession and the depression that the restaurant industry was experiencing. And through all that, social media became not just, the it thing, but a really powerful tool for a restaurant that's struggling to be able to promote and market and advertise a restaurant at very little cost. I mean, that's the brilliance of it. You know, there's really two things that make social media so powerful. Number one, it's very inexpensive if you do it right. And number two, you're getting the power of the referral. That's the best advertising in the world, right? A warm referral. And we found that social media had a very, very powerful place in the restaurant industry and marketing restaurants. And so we committed ourselves to becoming experts in that field. And we started Food Biz Today 1 month ago, or excuse me, 1 year ago last month. And it's been going very well. We're very pleased.
And big, small, or whatever, it's, no one's immune from this depression like you talk about. I mean, big chains have gone under, right?
Huge chains all across the country have gone under. And, you know, when times are good, everybody knows what to do. But when times get tough, we struggle and we start panicking a little bit, and that's when we make big mistakes.
Let me ask you this, because it's fascinating to me, especially I'm going to bring up a different industry, Southwest Airlines, who seem to be the model for profitability and success in the airline industry when so many airlines have had issues. Who's the model success in the food industry?
Actually, it's the mom and pops. So without, you know, picking on one company that everybody would know, the mom and pops are benefiting. I think we all went through a major transition when the economy fell apart. Everybody started thinking about what they were going to do with their money and how they're going to spend it. And simultaneously, we all became very aware that keeping our money in the state was not only good for the state and the economy, but it came back. So the mom and pops are benefiting from a downturn in the economy. People want to spend their money with somebody that they know, and they feel like they're contributing to a business instead of just, you know, exchanging money for food.
Now, is that also because some of the big chains had fixed costs, and when there's a decline in business, you know, it's tough to get out of certain long-term obligations where mom and pop might have more flexibility, smaller costs, better cost structures?
You know, here's a good analogy. If you were to be driving a semi-truck around town versus, you know, Glenn in one of his Porsches, we pull it out of his Porsche museum, you know, he's small and fleet and it's easier for him to maneuver around, and that's how a mom-and-pop business is as well. It's easier for them to make changes, whereas the chains, they fell behind. Social media came on board, and they thought, oh, Facebook, Twitter, how can that affect me? You know, that's for people like Ashton Kutcher and Britney Spears, and they didn't realize that it really had a powerful place in business. And so it took them 2 years to even recognize it was an opportunity, whereas mom-and-pop businesses jumped in with both feet, and they got so far ahead that they were – you know, they had followers and likes and friends, you know, before, you know, some of the major chains even knew what was going on.
Well, I would also suspect that there's no bureaucracy usually in a mom pa. I mean, I think the wife says it all. Whoever, what she says goes, right?
The mom.
Yeah, the absolutely. Ma. I mean, who's married here? Come on, raise your hands.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man.
All right. You all know what I'm talking about.
Yes,
I'm not
dear.
Glenn.
Two most important words in my
yes.
marriage.
Yes. See, so, okay. I'll get a lot of calls from that one. I heard something in the background. But anyway, and also I would think the smaller mom-pa type of organizations have, you know, there's just no bureaucracy. I mean, it's them. They're there. They're friendly. It's comfortability. It's an environment they're selling. It's not this chain thing, which maybe worked at one time. I don't know if it works as well these days. Maybe McDonald's is working. I don't know.
Yeah, you know, some of the massive corporations are struggling. You know, they're hurting because a little bit makes a big difference to them. Whereas, again, we try to teach our clients, and we work with primarily restaurants, but occasionally we'll work with another, sole proprietor or partnership, smaller company. We let them know, hey, you have a huge advantage, you know. It stop thinking about the economy. Turn off the news and pay attention to your business, and you'll find that, you know, if you start talking to your customers, you have a huge advantage over the major chains, but you have to take advantage of that and use some of the tools that are available, like social media.
And a concept I think we can all comment on is the internet makes the world a smaller place. And if you think about that, it doesn't matter what industry. I mean, you have some big companies, and I'll go back to the fixed costs, but they have these traditional marketing budgets. But with social media and other things that are out there, innovative ideas, is that if the internet makes things a smaller place, then you can compete. A small company can compete with giant companies.
Yeah, when I first got into the restaurant business and owned my first restaurant, the game was very different. You had a Yellow Pages ad that was incredibly important. I mean, it meant
and
the
expensive,
world.
Right?
Incredibly expensive.
Very expensive.
It took a lot of planning. By the time you created your ad, 6 months later, the phone book would actually come out, and you were stuck with it for a year. And the brilliance with social media is what I think today is going to work today. So Monday afternoon, I can make a statement, blast it out to thousands and thousands of people. And if I change my mind 1 hour later, I change the campaign, that old campaign is gone. And so it's just, you're so much more flexible, and you can speak to people the way that they want to be spoken to. And it's cheap. I can send a text message right now to my database of my clients why we're on this radio show and let them know to listen. I don't have to buy a print ad to do that. You know, it's a
now,
powerful
thing. Now,
did you
do thing. That, though?
Of course I did.
Okay,
yeah,
there we go. Good. All right. Well, you know, this is great because this is something.
Right here.
Oh, I'm sorry. Grab the mic.
And I'm tweeting over here.
Oh, you're tweeting.
All of us. Yeah.
Hey, see, that's very good. So this is really brilliant what you guys are doing. So let's go back to what we talked about just before the break. The team, the roles, responsibility. We learned what Steve was doing. How about Mr. Glenn? You're the customer interface guy. Tell us about that.
Well, I'm one of the customer interface guys. I mean, I really think that, regardless who shows up on the scene to get the job done, there needs to be a standard operating procedure in place. I always go back to the old days when I had the trash company, and people used to tell me, wow, you know, your guys, you know, they've got their Levi's on, their steel-toed boots, and, you know, their Holloway shirt, and they look very professional. I said, well, you know, that's a great thing. I don't want you to feel like when we leave we're going to rob you. And I think so often that when you put a team together like we have, we're vulnerable. We need to make sure that we send a complete message to the customer, that there's consistency. So everybody on the team is going to be interfacing with the customer. You know, this week I'm meeting with somebody to order shirts and hats. And that is going to be something that we're going to require, that if you're on our jobs, you're going to have a hat on. You're going to have a shirt. I mean, they know that they're, you know, our customers know that we do work with others, you know, to get these jobs done. But if we are consistent in that we're all doing things the same way, it leaves less gray area, as I would describe it, for that phone call from somebody that says, you know, these guys were on our job. Were they your guys?
Yeah.
I mean, were, you know, were they supposed to be here? We're letting them know that all of our team members, all of our service providers or team partners come across with the same message, same value system. And I think it's very important. It's very consistent. So that's just one thing that I'll be doing, but everybody on the team will be responsible for that message.
How about Robert? So what is your role, your responsibility? You're tweeting nice tweetings, but what else?
You know, I don't know exactly. I think that maybe it's organizational. I'm not really sure. I haven't been involved that much with the operations as we're building the business. A lot of the operational work is done at night. So I have three young children, so it's not that easy for me to get out at night and help the crews. So I think I'm more organizational than I would be operational at this point in time. Basically, what I do is we treat air conditioning and refrigeration systems with an energy-saving product called Thermonomix. And so I don't go up against competition typically. There's very small amount of people out there doing what I do. So it's easy for my team to use what I do as a way to get in the door with some of these people that I'm not a me too kind of business. So I think it's helpful there that they can always say, hey, are you using a PROA? Are you using a Thermonomix product? Are you using something in your air conditioning system that's going to reduce runtime? You're almost always going to get no. And if you ask somebody if they want to save money on their energy bill, they're almost always going to say yes. So I think that we use my product and my service as kind of an entryway into some of these businesses. And so Lance is promising them that his service is going to save them money to the bottom line. So it's easy for Lance to talk good about me. And Lance has taught us all that, you know, that it's so much more important to talk good about somebody else than it is to talk good about yourself. You know?
And that's the brilliance of what you have here with Infinite Green Resources, because there's a concept a couple years ago I started bringing up at networking groups called multiple entrance points. And if you think about it, if you're just one-dimensional, let's say I gave an example of a collector, you know, someone collecting money. And if you hit someone with they do need collections, but they're in a bad mood that day and they don't want to talk to you, you lost them unless you have a way to capture all your contacts. But let's say they don't really need a collector and they say, adios, you know, we don't need you. But if you have other specialties within the organization, there might be one they need right then and there, which then keeps you in the loop. Multiple entrance points. Robert, comments on that?
Love it. Love it. I mean, I've never heard that concept.
I made it up.
Yeah. That's
no,
great.
I did.
I believe that.
I'm writing a book on it because I think it's that important that people do creatively what you guys are doing.
And well, sometimes we get into businesses where they're so married or so in love or so comfortable with a service or some of the services they're all getting, you know, so if we can find that entrance point that where they start shaking their head, yeah, that makes sense, or yeah, I could really use help there. So we're kind of that all-encompassing service. And we're sharp enough that when we walk into a place, we can tell where they're having issues. And we can subtly ask them where their problems are, where their issues may be, and they can come to us honestly with it. Lance's partner, Guillermo, was really teaching me on their business one time about how you don't want to ask somebody when you first meet them if they're having issues with the IRS or if they've been paying their payroll taxes, you know. But as you get comfortable with them, they'll open up to you and tell you that. And many, many people are having issues with their sales tax or their payroll taxes. And if once they feel more comfortable with you, they'll open up to you with that. And then you can sidle up to them and say, hey, this is something that I have an experience with, and I know what you're going through. I know what your letters look like from the government. I understand. But I also can negotiate, and these government entities are willing to take pennies on the dollar sometime, and they may not be willing to take it from you, but with me in the middle, I may be able to get them to listen because they know that I can deliver, and Guillermo is, that's his expertise, or at least how he explained it to me. So,
oh, really? Is he a CPA? Or
no, Guillermo is my partner. He's a former restaurateur as well, and we accidentally kind of stumbled into that. A lot of our clients were in trouble on their taxes,
sure.
and we began working just in the restaurant industry and then started spreading our wings. So you know, if you don't mind, I'm going to go ahead and plug Guillermo. He's genius at what he does. He has an excellent relationship with the Department of Revenue. It's a scary, scary thing to go down there and deal with taxes, especially when you're behind. But he has helped solve problems for companies in and out of the restaurant industry of, you know, up to $1 million behind on taxes. So we change lives when we do things like that. And Robert's exactly right. When you're in trouble, you're in trouble across the board. And your concept is exactly what we are trying to do, because the meeting is so important. It's important to the business owner and it's important to us. We want to make sure that we get traction somehow. And they may not need what I have to offer. They may have someone that can help them with their taxes or with their social media. But if I can make a recommendation to these gentlemen, it's a warm recommendation and it's coming from a trusted source. So yep. Now the meeting wasn't a complete failure for either one of us. There's a benefit to the business owner, and of course there's a benefit to me because I get to help, you know, my partners out here.
You're like a consultant from A to Z. I love this.
Well, and that's how, you know, we go back to how I met Steve. Had a chance to go out and look at a service call that he had one night, and I disappeared in the restaurant, and Steve's trying to figure out, okay, you know, what's Glenn up to? Well, I'm taking
at
a look
bar.
No, I wasn't at the bar, but I'm looking at other areas where there may be struggles. Well, then I find out that Steve provides all these services through his organization, and next thing you know, Steve doesn't come in just with a one-dimensional approach. He's able to tackle a lot of different needs that the customer may have, and then this is where we were able to take Steve's company, Revive, and use it and incorporate it into Infinite Green Resources, and then, as they would say, the game was on or is on.
And when we come back from our break, we'll continue our discussion with Steve DiBiase from Infinite Green Resources, Glenn Gormley from Infinite Green and Infinite Green Resources, I'll say that too, Lance Reynolds with Food Biz, and of course Robert Deffenbaugh with Thermonomics. We'll be right back.
At Beerenbaum and Spien PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633 or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Beerenbaum and Spien works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
Are you able to ensure the safe driving and productivity of your employees? I'm Kara Lee with GPS Heroes, and with our plug-and-play GPS device, you can set geofences, get speeding alerts, and a full report card each week with driver reports and mileage, all to your computer or handheld device. It's easy to get and easy to use, in real time, with no service contracts. Just go to gpsheroes.org/21 and order yours today. That's gpsheroes.org/21.
And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac. This is Entrepreneurial Spirit, starring Glenn Gormley, substituting, pinch hitting for Leanne Hall and Craig Dean.
Absolutely. We're having a great time. Thank
this
you,
This is
Dave.
Fun. Oh, you're welcome. This is a lot of fun, actually. Of course, we always have fun with Craig and Leanne also. But you guys are especially fun talking about, wow, the IRS and the state of Arizona. And, of course, we have a whole assortment of creative people here. I really like what you've done is to bring talent together, create a team, and multiple entrance points like we talked about. Let's go back to Lance and tell us more about a little bit about social media, because I think that is something that people just, I don't know. Some people are doing it, but they may not be fully effective. I mean, what does it take to get a social media program together?
Well, I think the biggest problem that most people have is they think it's a matter of if you build it, they will come. And
Kevin Costner.
Exactly.
Great
and
movie.
While I'm on that topic, twitter.com/GrupoPatron, GRUPOPATRON, and GrupoPatron.com. That simple thing that I just did is really the magic behind social media. You have to promote it. Building it is not enough. You have to promote it. The cool thing about it, though, I really learned a lot because before I got into social media, I thought it was an Ashton Kutcher thing, too. You know, I think if you're famous and you're doing something fun, people will care. And I didn't really get it. But the cool thing about social media is it doesn't matter what industry you're in. If you go on, let's say, Twitter, and you set up a Twitter account, and you start getting people to follow you and following other people that have a like-minded business or even social interests, you start creating conversations. And really the magic behind marketing today, you know, old school marketing was, I'm going to tell you how great I am, and I'm going to tell you how great my product or service is, and the conversation ends there. It's not even a conversation. It's a one-way street. And the magic today is that if I can do something fantastic and Glenn can tell his network that I'm doing something fantastic, or I can tell my network that Robert is doing something fantastic, it's so much more powerful. And before, you had to do that one at a time on the phone or in a meeting. And then email became a little more efficient. And now I can tell 1,500 people at the click of a mouse with 160 characters how great Robert's company is, or how great what Steve is doing. On top of that, I can do a search for what I'm looking for, find other people that have similar interests in my services or, you know, my partner services here, and all of a sudden I've created a conversation. So we're talking back and forth about how wonderful this can be, and then it just explodes, and they tell two friends, and they tell two friends, and
like viral marketing.
It's viral marketing.
Powerful. And we have a caller on line one. A mystery caller. Welcome to the show. Who is calling in?
I don't even know who this is. This is how mysterious it is.
It is Craig Dino.
Oh,
we knew
boy,
it.
Are we so busted.
No, we weren't sure if you're listening.
I'm wearing a tie, Craig.
I am so sick and tired of kissing frogs.
You have been listening. I can't believe it. So how are you doing, Craig?
I'm doing great. Got back from Southern Utah, and Bryce Canyon and all these canyons that we went to. Just absolutely beautiful. Absolutely beautiful.
I've heard it's just magnificent out there. So when are you going to go back? You must love it. It must have been relaxing.
It was very relaxing. We ran into a blizzard yesterday driving through the Escalante Mountains. Woke up Saturday morning to 3 inches of snow. It was pretty incredible.
Are you kidding?
No, the weather was changing like every couple hours. It was very nice.
Oh, that's a little different than being at Dairy Queen. Is that what you're saying in the blizzard thing? I mean, come on, Craig.
Well, anyway, you know, I just had to call. These guys are so awesome. And you know what? As a restaurateur and having had my restaurant for all those years, these guys would have been a blessing to me, an absolute blessing. And the reason is that, you know, really in the restaurant business, everything starts with cleanliness. If you really have a clean restaurant, everything else is going to fall in place because you know that the ownership or the management is really paying attention to details. And these guys provide such a tremendous service. I've gone out with Glenn on a few of his jobs, and what I see happening is tremendous.
And, of course, you know, because you own Miracle Mile Deli for 26 years.
Yes.
I mean, who would know better than you about the industry?
Well, you know, and cleanliness was always first in our mind. You know, because if you sell that to your employees that cleanliness is the most important thing, then it just improves morale and everybody starts looking at the restaurant totally different.
Well, that's exactly right, Craig. And, you know, we've talked about this over and over about taking ownership.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, we're in a lot of restaurants. I mean, we get a chance to take a look at, you know, just the whether it's the floors or the drains or whatever the neglect may be.
Mm-hmm.
It's a trickle-down effect,
and
we love to get people involved. And just, you know, recently we've taken on a couple of tough projects, and we've seen folks turn around. And we do know that when we do get in that situation, we do get resistance.
And a lot of times when you tell people that this is going to happen within the organization, they doubt you and they say, no, everybody's going to get behind this. Well, there's some folks that just love misery. They think that, you know, we're not going to get on this bandwagon. But when we start to show and create a change, we start to see a change in morale and how people do start taking ownership for the property.
Oh, it's very true. You know, and Glenn, you and I have noticed, you can tell within 30 seconds when you walk into a kitchen of a restaurant how successful that enterprise is. You just know immediately.
Which is, that's a great talent to even recognize it. And how do you know that? Is it intuitive?
Yeah, it's intuitive. When you've done it for so many years, you know what your expectations are and you know how high up the line you want to go as far as your barometer goes to, you know, push your employees. And they know then what to expect from you. And, you know, I'm just a firm believer that if you have high expectations and your employees meet them, they're going to be much happier. They're going to be prouder of what they do.
Well, there's no doubt. I mean, look at the opposite. If you have low expectations or no expectations, it's chaos. And you can't run a company that way. Maybe you can run a government that way. Oh, that doesn't work either.
And that's what's so great about the company that Glenn, Lance, and Robert and everybody is forming, because these are such high-quality people. They all have high expectations that they put upon themselves, and it just carries forward into each other. That's why this team concept is going to be very successful, because it doesn't matter who is going out on the job. They know they're representing one of their fellow, you know, compatriots in this business, and they just want to do well for each other.
Well, there's no doubt about it. And like you said, that if there was a concept like this when you owned your restaurant, it would have probably saved you a lot more time and probably overall money.
Oh, absolutely. It would have saved you time, money, stress, the whole ball of wax.
Which is so important, especially in today's time. How big is stress these days?
Well, and this time, you know, Glenn and I have spoken about it. This is a company that's going to save restaurants money. And that's the bottom line in this economy. You have to, in order to survive, you have to make a profit. Otherwise, you're going to go out faster than ever before.
Well, Craig, you're absolutely correct, because remember we were talking, or I had shared with you, when I entered the market 2 years ago, I thought that the green product or the natural product from Infinite Green was going to make the difference. And then I quickly realized that everybody thought, if I'm going to take them green, I'm going to bankrupt them. And when I heard it enough times, listen, I love the fact, Glenn, that you've bringing some better products, just don't hurt my bottom line. So we just switched gears, and we turned it around. And now we've put something together that definitely addresses saving money.
And I'll tell you, Dave, his product works. His product works like nothing I have ever seen. I was getting joy on my hands and knees scrubbing with it last week.
That's right. You were telling us about this the last time you were on the air, that you were helping a certain company,
exactly. Yeah.
And are we allowed to say the name of the company?
No, I won't say.
Okay.
The name of it,
So, but it was very effective, you said, and people started to notice, the employees.
Oh, absolutely. The employees started noticing, yes.
And that's remarkable, because it does show, it sends a lot of messages, right, when you do stuff that will enhance your company, in this case, a restaurant or some type of hospitality place. It really shows you care about the customers and you care about the employees.
Absolutely. And the biggest compliment that Glenn can get with his product is, one of the women walked into the kitchen, and she's about 8.5 months pregnant, and she walked in and she says, oh, my God, I've never smelled this kitchen smell this good. She said it smells so fresh, and it doesn't smell like chemicals.
Wow, that's quite a compliment.
Well, absolutely, because when you're using a natural product instead of all those caustic chemicals, you get a much fresher natural aroma in your kitchen, which enhances the ability for the food to kind of seep out into the dining room to make people a little bit hungrier.
Hey, that's a really good point. A nice marketing strategy. I like that. So what other questions do you have?
I don't have any other questions. I just think these guys are an awesome group of guys.
They are.
And I'm 100% behind their company and very proud to be involved in it with them.
Wow. So how's Glenn doing pinch-hitting for you?
He's doing very good. I don't like his hair, but other than that, it's okay.
Oh, you're watching us right now? There we go.
And how does Lance not get included in this group?
Yeah.
Huh?
I know. He and Guillermo, what two awesome guys.
So, Craig, you'll be on next Monday.
Yep, we'll be on next Monday.
And we probably have a surprise guest, or
it's such a surprise. I don't know who it is yet.
Okay, then that will be a surprise. Well, that'll be great. It'll be always nice to see you back, and
okay.
Leanne, and I'm glad you got back safely from your vacation.
Thanks a lot.
All right.
Okay, take care. Okay.
Thanks a lot. And that was Craig Dean, and you're pinch hitting for him, and you thought he wasn't listening.
No, I know he's listening. There's no doubt about it.
He quoted some stuff that you said.
Oh, did he really?
Yeah, remember? What did he say about, I forgot now what he said, but he said something.
That was a good point.
Kissing frogs.
Oh, yeah, that
kissing
was it.
Frogs.
See, Lance knows what he's doing. He was probably tweeting that out on social media since you're the expert.
I was.
Tweeting.
But you know the interesting thing about Craig Dean, and I've had a chance to really work with him rather closely now, is that he can walk in to a restaurant, and before you know it, he knows where there's the struggles. And I think that's important. I think that when you're dealing with our customers, they just don't have a lot of time. They really don't. And they want to find out why you're here, what you can do to create opportunity and solve some of these problems. And Craig has come on board with us because he believes in what we're doing.
Oh, yeah.
Because he knows beyond a shadow of a doubt that when he had the deli down in Park Central, he had the struggles with the grease trap, with the floors. He knows the workman compensation situations that came up from a slip and fall, maybe something splashed in the eye, you know, a burn on the arm or something like that. So he's seen it, and he's behind it 100%. And that really adds a tremendous amount of value to what we're bringing to the customer.
Well, no doubt. I mean, having an experienced restaurant owner for 26 years and a successful one, that's major credibility.
Well, here's another example. We talk about, you know, the Thermonomics product through Robert. Craig Dean's restaurant had an $8,000 electric bill June, July, August, and September. That's a lot of money. I mean, people, you know, you're eating a sandwich and you're like, why is the guy charging me $6 for a sandwich? And you're like, I didn't realize you had an $8,000. Hey, here's $10.
I got charged $9. Why did you get a $6 one?
Well, I'm talking about the old days,
Dave. Oh, okay.
You know,
you look so young. Come on.
But the point is, you know, Craig understands that he had an electric bill that was $8,000. We take for granted what companies have as a spend to keep that place comfortable when you walk in there to sit down and have your lunch with friends or family.
No doubt about it. And when we come back from our break, we'll continue our discussion with Glenn Gormley, Steve DiBiase, Robert Defebal, and Lance Reynolds. This is Entrepreneurial Spirit. We'll be right back.
What if your house is on fire, you call 911? The firemen don't know what to do, the truck's got a flat tire, the water hose has a leak, they can't decide what to wear, and everybody wants to drive the truck. This never happens because they have a process, they follow it, they're on the same page. I'll help you put your fires out with a business process. I'm Barbara Haggerty, helping you mind your own business. 602-750-4518. Increase the bottom line now. Even a two-person business needs a process, and I specialize in small business. 602-750-4518.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
Hey, And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac. This is Entrepreneurial Spirit and, of course, Glenn Gormley pinch hitting for Craig Dean. And he called in. He sounded really good, relaxed, and a great vacation, evidently.
Must have had a good time. He's ready to go next Monday.
That's right.
Setting up some mystery guests and the whole bit, so we'll see what happens there.
Hey, that'll be good. You need to listen and call in, just like Craig did.
I might do that.
You might. All right. Anyway, we were talking about all sorts of things, the multiple entrance points, and all four of you here are great entrepreneurs. We were talking about that off the air. And a question came up, and Glenn, you asked the question, how has business changed? Why don't we start with you and go around the room and really articulate that? How has business changed? And if you don't go with the changes, in my opinion, you're out of business. Go ahead, Glenn.
Okay, well, I'll look at how it affected myself. I left business, or I closed or sold my business in 2005 in December. And I just took 2 years off and reentered in, let's say, late 2008. Wow. What a sticker shock. I was like, everything that I thought I was really great at, you just throw that right out the window. So I almost had to retool. I mean, it always goes back to like when I set up my Twitter account. And I'm not getting a response from Robert, but because I didn't set it up. Robert set it up for me. But anyway.
He's smiling, though. Or he's shaking his head. He looks disgusted, ladies and gentlemen.
Glenn's up to one follower.
Yeah, I have one follower now. But my point is, as business changed and I re-entered the marketplace, I quickly realized that I didn't have enough ammunition, you know, to fight the fight. And so I became more open to finding how I could better prepare myself. Well, since that part of the journey started, I've now met Lance. Robert and myself have, again, redirected our energy. Steve has come into the mix along with others that have helped us to better understand how business is being, you know, or how it's functioning in America today. That's been the big thing for me is getting a handle on that.
In other words, you got to keep up with the trends and create the trends, too, I would say.
Well, I didn't know what that was. I thought I had it all figured out, so I was the first to put my hand up. But now, you know, if you were to talk to me about social media even a year ago, I didn't get it. I'm still getting customers that are telling me when I bring up something about social media, they're like, well, you know, I don't really Twitter. I have one of my people in the office Twittering for the business, and I'm like, I'm smart enough now to realize that's wrong.
Yeah.
You better call Lance.
Yeah, no doubt.
You better get Lance on your team because he's going to tell you that it's not your employee's responsibility to Twitter for the company. It's your responsibility.
Well, Steve, how has business changed for you? What have you seen? What are you doing to keep up with the changes?
Well, I think, you know, when Lance said this, when things are good, there's not a whole lot you need to do to bring in business. You spend a little bit on marketing and you're going to get pretty busy. In today's world, you have to rely on partners and your network, and social media teaches us that. So not only via social media, but you've got to get out and get in front and develop relationships with partners, and you have to develop relationships with your customers. You know, you could walk into a restaurant in the past, and they were cash heavy. They'd agree to do some service with you because they had extra cash. Today, that's not the case. You have to understand what they have a budget for, what they're trying to accomplish at a higher level, and then fit your service into that message or into that focus. And then you can get something sold. So it's a much higher level type sale.
Makes sense. And Robert, how's business changed?
Lots of things have changed. I think that one thing, when Glenn was explaining how we all know each other, one thing we haven't mentioned this whole show, and we could probably do a whole show about, is we all kind of met through a couple different barter programs. So it's a whole different way of doing things, but I think that's really grassroots way of doing business and really doing business with local companies, with mom and pops, and what Lance was saying about the mom and pop companies doing well in this environment because they can change on the fly and they can change their menus and they can change local, they can use locally grown produce, and they don't have to worry about having the exact same product across the line of 400 or 500 locations as some of the larger chains would have to do. So I think that's how my world has changed, is that I'm a local business. I deal with local people. I try to buy my stuff in local places. And obviously I deal on a national level with my product, but we all know each other through a few different barter groups that we've been involved in. And I think that's something that we could talk about some other time. But
Yeah, that makes sense. Because it facilitates more business. I don't know if it works with every industry, but certainly restaurants would be something that would make a lot of sense with the barter, other retail outlets. So that totally makes sense, and it does again bring the world, a big world to a smaller portion of the world. So Lance, how has business changed? Especially, you're going to know this really well because of social media and the trends there.
Yeah, you know, there's you know, the advancements of technology and social media, but I think really for me the biggest change has been just the mindset. You know, everybody went into a tailspin in 2007 before anything really directly affected them, and I think that so many businesses, when we go in and sit down across the table from a business owner and they are contemplating bankruptcy, shutting down their business, they're, you know, thinking of all the employees that are going to lose their homes, and it's overwhelming, and they get stuck in that. And I'd say probably the most important thing we do, way more important than any social media campaign or anything like that, is starting from the position that the world did not end. No matter what they said on TV, the world did not end. And this is a huge opportunity. And if you would change the way you think about it, there are people like these guys out there all over that are willing to work with you. I mean, you know, 10 years ago when things were good, we were too busy to work with one another. And look what's happened, because everybody tightened their boots. Joe Johnston, I'm going to plug him. He owns Agritopia. He founded the coffee plantation, and he and his partner Tim Palin were mentors of mine. And Joe taught me a lot of things. One thing that he said to me early on in my education mentoring with him was that two people care about money, the incredibly wealthy and the incredibly poor. And the vast middle class gets stuck because they just kind of ebb and flow. Well, that changed when the economy changed, and it forced successful entrepreneurs even to band together and find a way to work together to create something bigger, and to not get caught up in what CNN and Fox and MSNBC are talking about. I don't even pay attention to it. I refuse to participate. I want to participate in success, not in, you know, the downturn of the economy that everybody's freaking out about.
You know, I totally agree, and Glenn will appreciate this because Glenn knows I am a neurolinguistic master practitioner. Have you heard about that, Lance? Tony Robbins is
NLP.
Yeah, NLP, and that's partly what breakthrough thinking's about is business psychology, and I totally agree with you guys. Is that you could give more people information. Look at the internet. You can get anything, anytime, anywhere. But more information doesn't do it. It's your beliefs, and you got to check yourself. You got to understand that how you believe is how you're going to behave, and how you behave results in your goals. And I call goals, or results, I should say, symptoms. Because the symptoms, the reflection out there, what you're doing right now, if you have low cash flow, no sales, or low sales, and things aren't going well, where do you think that comes from? It's almost like people blame their checkbook for not having money in it. Well, you can't blame the checkbook. You got to look at your inner thoughts, your beliefs, your way of thinking, like Lance, what you were saying. That is what's going to manifest outside. It's an inside-outside job. Most people are waiting for something to happen so they can get started. And I agree with you. Do not tie into the negativity. Anything, anytime can happen right now, right here. You only have the present moment. That's where the power is. Lance?
You know, I was listening to the show as I was coming into the building, and you were talking about costs and people just focusing on just the costs. And you'd think in an economy like this that would be the mindset. And I really think that that's changed too. I think that people are much more conscientious about the benefit that they're getting and the effectiveness of what they're. So when you get to work with the gentleman in this room, and these guys are really incredibly talented and they do great work, when you get to work with them, you have trust behind it. It's not just the dollar amount on the bottom of the invoice. It's the fact that you can call one of these guys and you know they're going to pick up the phone, and you know that they're going to show up when you need them. And that there's fewer things more important, especially in the industry that I focus on, the restaurant industry. You're so overwhelmed all the time. To be able to make one phone call and have access to everything that they've talked about today, and then some. I mean, they've hit the tip of the iceberg. It's a really powerful thing to make one phone call and have access to all of this talent and these services.
You know, and I've always told people, is ask the question, the entrepreneurs out there, is what do you provide that's above your product and or service? What do you provide that's above that? That's what you're all talking about. You give trust. You give safety, security. You give comfort. You give reliability. That's not what you sell, but that's what you do. That's who you are. That's why it works, Glenn.
But that impacts the bottom line.
No question about it.
Impacts the bottom line in ways that you know, we don't spend enough time looking at, because when this thing really, you know, took a turn and we said, well, we better you know, control costs, you know, there's certain things that we did like clockwork. We took our hourly employees and cut their hours. We put the responsibility back on the salaried people. Those were the two that interfaced with all of our customers that actually continued to come back and spend money. And then we disturbed morale, and the next thing you know, the game was on. And then all of a sudden, we took time to neglect equipment. We cut out valuable services to make sure that our maintenance was up and in order. We might not have taken care of the parking lot. Oh, we'll cut back on the trash service. The pest control guy doesn't need to come as much. And then all of a sudden, not only do you think you've got a little bit of trouble, now it really hits you. And you do not have enough hours in a day to straighten that mess out. So now we come along with a program of consolidation, of trust, of reliability, of the same message being promoted by all the team players, and you feel a little bit more comfortable and you feel like the weight of the world has been lifted off of your shoulders. It's important.
It's very important. And as you're talking, I wrote down a few things. Like, a lot of people really are proud of the quality of their product. And I say that's great, except the quality of the person is really what matters. And let's get – Lance, you gave me a thumbs up on that. And that's what you guys are. The quality here – is off the charts. No one can compete with you. You have great product, but you're quality people. I'd much rather deal with quality people, because what does that say? Integrity, honesty, reliability, trust, Lance.
Yeah, you can tell a lot about a person within a couple of seconds, and that's why I'm sitting here with these guys, honestly. I mean, you know, the product that they have, obviously, you can save money if you use it properly. It's much healthier for you. It's much more effective. Let's not leave out, it's the right thing to do, right? Okay,
correct.
Using green product is the right thing to do. And then on top of that, I have a lot of options. I have a lot of options of people to work with that offer these types of products and services. But I work with these guys because of who they are, and they answer their phone when I call. They return my phone call when I need them. And that built up the trust in me. So now I don't have Glenn and I spent the day together last week. It was a really enjoyable afternoon, and I went around and introduced him to a lot of my clients. Well, I obviously have a lot of faith, because if he falls down, it doesn't go back to Glenn. It comes back on me.
Absolutely.
I'm the one making the recommendation. And I have 100% faith in all of these guys to bring them to any one of my clients and say, hey, you need to work with these guys.
You know, that's so important, and also brings up something I always think about in strategic planning is, you know, you need a vision, a mission. A lot of people say they have a strategic plan or business plan, but they really don't, because they don't really know what that truly means. You got to walk that talk. You just can't put a bunch of words down and have a mission statement. What does it mean? What experiences have you had to put those words into action? And intention is really important. And the people that I like working with are intention to help people first, to help others first. And you can always tell the difference. Are you doing it for you, just for money? Or are you doing it to enhance someone's life? Len?
Well, I think it's a great point. I mean, I think so often we get an opportunity to visit with a customer and they think we're there to sell them something. And I'm quick to point out, I don't need to sell you anything. I'm here to make a difference. And just like the guy that wants to put you into a certain vehicle, if he doesn't give you the opportunity to take it around the block or get it up on the highway and get it up to speed, you don't have an idea of what you're getting into. So we let everybody take a test drive first. And that creates even more value, and it shows somebody that we're really concerned. We want to make a difference. So that's something that we put an awful lot of focus on.
Steve, how do you make a difference?
I make a difference in exactly kind of what Glenn had said. When I walk into a business, I don't think about what I'm selling. I think about how I can help, and that may include one thing, that may include five things, I don't know. I just get to the point of, where can I help? Where do you need help strategically for cleaning your place? Because you have a strategic business plan, you may not have a strategic plan for getting your place clean.
That's a good point. And I could tell about you, too. See, Lance, you said it all. You said in a few seconds you can tell about the quality and the character. Steve, we just met, right, before right. the show. I could tell you have that heart, that soul, to want to be there for others. I mean, sure, everyone wants to make a fair profit. That's only fair so you can help more people. But that isn't your primary focus, I could tell. You're there because you're proud of what you do, and right. you know it can make a difference. Well, I'm proud of you. I hardly even know the guy. He's a nice guy.
Thank you.
Robert, how do you make a difference?
Mostly I work in with air conditioning and refrigeration, and it's in Arizona especially, it's almost like a predatory-type business. When your air conditioning or refrigeration goes down, it's an emergency. It's not something that you can put off a day or two. It's something that has to be handled right away. So when you call somebody, whether it's the guy that you've been using or whether it's a new guy, because the guy that you have been using, the last time you put a bill in front of you, it was ridiculously high, and you just, you know, it had to be done. So you just paid for it because you needed to, you know, to cool the building or cool the area. So it seems like there's a lot of turnover in that business with people using new people every 6 months or so. So I like to be able to come in, service people's air conditioning equipment with my product, and at the same time act as a consultant going forward. If something were to happen to any equipment after I've treated it with Thermonomix, I want them to call me first. I want to make sure that it had nothing to do with anything that I did or my guys did while they were in there. And at the same time, I have the credibility to maybe call a couple guys to come in myself and have them come in quickly and assess the problem. So you're getting more than one option, or at least you're getting the same price from two different people, so you feel a little bit more comfortable. And I can usually have it done pretty quickly, so it's not a matter of, you know, let's just have it fixed by whoever, whenever, you know. And you see a lot of problems up on the roofs of buildings where stuff has just been put together with duct tape and dental floss and love, you know, and that's it's just going to be a disaster going down the road. And there's a lot of technicians out there that that really don't know how to handle every situation, but they can get it running again cold for maybe a week or two or a month or maybe, you know. So
as long as they have until they get out of the building and say, hey, it works.
Exactly.
Must be okay.
Exactly. So I got into a business that there's a lot of unsavory type individuals that are out there, and maybe just some uneducated type individuals out there also. And so with the ignorance, there's just a lot of problems just get multiplied and don't get handled the first time out. So
you offer
as a consultant, you know.
Well, you offer integrity and sophistication.
I think I do.
Nothing better than that.
I'm not in the service business, so it doesn't help me to bring in people. You know, it's just putting two people together that I know and trust.
Wow. And Lance, last but not least, how do you make a difference? We have, about a couple minutes left, 3 minutes left. So in 2 minutes or less, how do you make a difference? It sounds like a new game show, right?
Well, I don't want to sound melodramatic, but quite literally, my partner and I save lives. And you know, you generally look at a situation like that as like someone's going to live or they're going to die. But it's the quality of life and what they're about to go through. We have many, many referrals that we can give out from clients of ours that were, you know, $30,000 to $60,000 behind on their taxes, that were 3 to 6 months behind on their rent. If the restaurant goes out of business, it doesn't just affect the front door of the restaurant. They'll lose their home. Generally, they'll lose their car. Their manager and chef are in danger of losing their home. I mean,
it destroys
relationships. It hurts marriages.
Yep.
Quite literally, we have clients that are, you know, I don't mean to be melodramatic, but they're suicidal. You know, they've come to the end. They don't know what else to do. So when we turn that situation around, it's not just money sitting in a bank account. Like Richard Branson says, what a waste to have, you know, the guy's worth, $30 billion? Yeah. To have money just sitting in a bank account somewhere is the silliest thing in the world. It's more than that. It's what does that do when the business is healthy? It keeps people employed. It keeps people moving forward. And it affects landlords. It affects the service people. It affects the gentleman in this room, all of the vendors. So many people get hurt when a restaurant goes out of business, and people don't think that. They just think it's one less dining option, but it affects hundreds and thousands of people in a local economy.
No doubt. Well, you were at the end of the show, but Lance, how do people get in touch with you?
They can call me direct, 480-233-8405, or you can go to GrupoPatron.com. I'm going to spell it, GRUPO. patron.com, or follow us on Facebook and Twitter, facebook.com/Grupo Patron and twitter.com/Grupo Patron.
Excellent. Robert Deffelbaugh, how do they get in touch with you? Rocket Robert.
The best way to get in touch with me is actually get in touch through Infinite Green Services. They handle all the local business here in Arizona. So just get with Glenn or Steve, and they'll get with me.
Okay, Steve, how do you get in touch with
you? You can call me direct at 602-377-3760. And soon we'll have infinitegreenresources.com up and running. It's being developed right now.
And Glenn, same number, or how do they get in touch with you?
My cell, 602-540-8720, or you could find Glenn at Glenn with two N's at cleangreenworld.com.
Well, thank you so much. Glenn, thank you for pinch hitting for Craig Dean and Leanne Hall. I think they liked what you did today.
Well, I'll find out tomorrow morning over breakfast, that's for sure.
That's right. And then, of course, we'll have Craig Dean and Leanne Hall back next week from 2:30 to 4. Thank you, Steve DiBiase, Robert Deffelbaugh, and not Bomb, but Deffelbaugh. B-A-U-G-H. Lance Reynolds, thank you. Very nice meeting all of
you.
And I'll see everyone tomorrow for more Breakthrough Thinking.